Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
The title of my talk today is Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. When I was a young boy, 8, 10 years old, my grandfather, the one I was named for, his name was Paul, he and my grandmother lived across the street from us down in Florida, and he fancied himself as a philosopher of sorts, which is, it's hard to find the line between being a philosopher and being a smartass. You know, usually it's kind of, I never could quite be on the right side of that line myself. And whenever I talked to him, I spent a lot of time with him, because he was a retired fireman. And whenever I'd complain that what happened yesterday was better than what was happening today, or whenever I insisted that I couldn't wait till tomorrow for something exciting to happen, he would simply say, without raising his eyes from the television or the newspaper, yesterday, today was tomorrow, when tomorrow, today will be yesterday. And then he'd go back to whatever he was doing, all right? And that was supposed to explain everything. Anybody else ever hear that from their parents, probably? All right, yesterday, today was tomorrow, and tomorrow, today will be yesterday. Now, as a 10-year-old boy, I did not consider that to be very helpful information, all right? It might surprise you. But from what I know today, if you think about this metaphysically, which is how we like to think, if he had taken the time to explain to me what he meant, assuming he knew what he meant, and if I had been able to understand what he told me, it might have made a very positive difference in my life over the next 20 or 30 years until I found this teaching. Because, just like a few of you, I'm sure, when I was young, in my 20s and 30s, I wasted a lot of time and a lot of energy focusing my attention somewhere besides where I was. Anybody else do that? I think most of us do. And worrying about things that I could not control. Now, in The Science of Mind, the book The Science of Mind, what we call our textbook, if you're new here, you're visiting, on page 432, and I say that because somebody always asks me afterwards, so if you're writing it down, Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of this teaching, writes this. It's a short paragraph, and just bear with me, and then we'll talk about it after I finish. He says, "Have no fear of tomorrow, enjoy today. Refuse to carry the corpse of a mistaken yesterday. What untold misery is suffered through the burdens imposed by our yesterdays and the bitter prospects of tomorrow. The good of the present day is too often sandwiched between those two impossible situations. The day in which we live is sufficient. We are to live today as though God were in heaven while all is well with our soul." Now, he gets a little religious at the end, but Dr. Holmes got carried away with being a preacher sometimes, but the point of it, I think you understand. What he's saying here is, most of our unhappiness in the world exists for one of two reasons. Either we are angry or resentful or remorseful or ashamed, whatever word you want to choose, about something that happened in our past, or we are worried about something we think is going to happen in the future. But today is rarely the problem. Rarely the problem. In fact, if somebody came up behind us while we were busy being angry about yesterday or worried about tomorrow and asked us, how are things going right now? Once we thought about it, the answer will be, well, right now I'm fine. I don't have a problem right now, but I'm busy worrying about yesterday and tomorrow. You see, something we fail to realize is that the problems in our life, those things that happened yesterday, usually happened fairly quickly. The actual thing that happened that we're thinking about so much, maybe a spouse walked out or you had a fight, maybe we lost some money, we got fired, we had a car accident, whatever it is. Even physical problems only last a certain amount of time unless we adopt them and give them a name, which is another talk. We'll get to that. But all the residual stuff around the problem, all the drama and the whining and the blame and the remorse and all the other stuff that we're thinking about may last a while, even though the event itself was fairly brief. And as far as tomorrow goes, a fairly large percentage of things that we worry about in the future never happen. They never happen, or at least they don't happen being as bad as we thought they'd be. So if we're honest about it, most of what occupies our mind today comes from our own dramatic embellishment of brief or non-existent events from two time periods that do not actually exist, yesterday and tomorrow. So that's what I want to talk about today, now, okay? Now, that just told you how I got my title, okay? Now, when I say that yesterday and tomorrow don't exist, I want you to understand, I am not saying that yesterday never happened and that tomorrow is never going to come. That would be ridiculous. I'm not saying that. We live in a universe where there are certain physical laws, and one of the laws we participate in is something we call time. But time is a very interesting thing. If you read some of the stuff that Einstein wrote, some of the stuff that's readable, or if you read any of the current information on quantum physics from people like Greg Braden or Gary Zukav or Paul Davies, any of the writers who are spiritually oriented but also talking about quantum physics, we learn that time is a lot more elastic than we once thought. In fact, most of what we call time is based on our perceptions. Now, some physicists, just like some metaphysicians, even go so far to say that time is an illusion, that it's just a mental framework that humans have adopted to keep everything from happening at the same time, which is one way of looking at it. But today, let's take a simpler approach to that. Let's just agree that time is a way of arranging the moments of our life in some sort of a linear progression in retrospect and then looking forward so that we can get our mind around what happens in our life and see a cause and effect relationship between the things we do and what comes afterward. We can look backwards or we can project forwards. Now, at the most basic level, most people believe that time allows us to see how decisions we made yesterday or the day before, whatever, created the situation we're in today and how our reaction to the situation today is going to create what happens tomorrow and on and on and on. That's the way most people look at it. The problem is, once again, that yesterday and tomorrow have no power in and of themselves. What happened yesterday is over and done. The facts can't be changed, and tomorrow doesn't exist at all except as pure potentiality, as Deepak Chopra calls it. Tomorrow's an empty slate waiting to be written upon. But from a purely spiritual perspective, which is the way we try to look at things, which means the invisible creative power behind the thing we see, that's all that spirituality means, both the past and the future do exist in one place, and that is in our consciousness. That is in our mind. That's the key. That's actually what my grandfather was trying to tell me when he made that statement that he made. And once we figure that out and we start to live that way, everything in our life starts to change. Everything. Because we then become the conscious creators of our own past, present, and future instead of the unconscious victims of events in the world around us. That's what changes. You see, because we perceive our life as a constant and uninterrupted flow, which it is not, and because we never pay attention to what we are thinking in the present moment, which we should, the average person's thoughts drift aimlessly between today, tomorrow, and yesterday, but mostly in the past and in the future. Now, remember, we are always thinking and feeling in the present moment, right? Because that's the only place that we exist. That's the only place our mind can be. But most of our thoughts are about events that have no place in the present. Most people see yesterday as the cause of today and today as the cause of tomorrow. And we see ourselves as simply the carrier of the thoughts and the experiencer of today's events. But this unbroken chain of causation that we think we see is as no more than a smooth and constant flow is what we think like a movie on a movie screen. In fact, that's a perfect example. So let me talk about that for a minute. When we go to a movie, pick any movie you want, and we see a story from beginning to end, we're in there for maybe 2 hours, and while we're watching it, we may laugh, we may cry, we may, you know, be horrified, we may be angry, we may fall in love if it's that kind of a chick movie, whatever. And if it's a good movie, we leave feeling totally entertained. Right? And if it's a great movie, we might even be profoundly affected or transformed. Movies like You've Got Your Own, but like The Shawshank Redemption or Saving Private Ryan or Dr. Zhivago, if you want to go back a few years. For me, it was The Graduate when I was in college. You know, you're absolutely transformed. You go out there with all these thoughts going through your mind that this thing woke up. So when we walk out of this theater, this 2 hours that we just spent, if we really felt the emotions and connected with the characters, it stays in our mind in such a way that we could meet a friend who had not seen the movie and we could tell him the whole story. We could tell him the whole thing. But here's the interesting part. From a purely technical perspective, when we walk out of that theater after 2 hours, what we just saw was approximately 57,000 snapshots arranged in a particular sequence, flashed onto a silver screen one after the other at a speed that fooled our mind into thinking that something was really happening. Interesting, isn't it? Neither the film, nor the projector, nor the screen had any attachment at all to the characters, to the story, to the emotions, to all those things that touched us so much over that period. Everything that happened in that 2 hours really didn't happen on the screen. The important stuff happened in here. It happened when we were thinking about what we were seeing. That's why when two of you pay $25 to go sit in a dark theater for 2 hours, maybe one of you ends up crying while the other one's sleeping. It always affects us differently, okay? Now, let's apply that same process to our everyday life. Normally, I think of my life as a nonstop story flowing from one day to another. But what if I shifted that? What if I shifted my thinking and I made an effort to see all the events from my past as individual snapshots that I choose instead of concrete events that the world is telling me are real? Now, if I do that, not only can I choose the snapshots, I can also choose, this is important, how much emphasis each one of those snapshots gets, all right? And how long each one is going to stay in my consciousness. All right. When I take control of that, I stop watching someone else's movie and I start to create my own. Now, the reason this is important is because most people see their memories of yesterday and their thoughts about tomorrow, and they use them to define themselves. People do it all the time. Only instead of consciously choosing which thoughts and memories occupy their mind, they either focus on the ones they've always focused on, or they focus on the ones that people tell them are important, or they focus on the ones that frighten them the most. Those are the kind of thoughts they focus on. For some strange reason, most people do not focus on new thoughts or happy thoughts or inspirational thoughts or even pleasant memory. How many people do you know you ask, how are you doing? And they tell you all the things that are wrong in their life or all the things that have happened to them that they don't like. They focus on the worst things that ever happened to them instead of the best. They focus on the most frightening possibilities for the future instead of the most exciting. Look at the whole election process. Everybody's talking about all the horrible things that happen if anybody gets elected. That's all they're talking about. Instead of talking about the exciting possibilities that always exist. That's what's happening today with politics, with terrorism, with the economy, with the environment, blah, 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 all of it. That's also why so many people define themselves in the present as something from their past. People describe themselves as a cancer survivor, or a victim of childhood abuse, or a child of alcoholic parents. Now, these are all terrible things, but as they describe their present in terms of their past, they're doing something dangerous. And you know what that is? They're creating their future. They're describing themselves in the present, using their past, and that's how they're creating their future. So they see tomorrow as a potential disaster that has to be dealt with rather than a fantastic possibility that's ready to happen. That's ready to happen. Now, unfortunately, that kind of thinking keeps us from using the power, the one power that we have, which is the power we have to change our thinking in the moment. The power we have in the moment to release our past and to create our own future, which is something we're all able to do. We can choose any time we want, and this is a surprise to some people, the state of consciousness that we are in the present. So I guess the question is, why aren't we choosing a better one? Why don't most people choose a better one? So let's talk about that for a minute. In order to get to a better place in consciousness, which is what I assume all of us want to do, there are a few things we have to do first. And usually when I talk about spiritual growth, the one thing I talk about first is awareness. Awareness of what God is, awareness of what we are, awareness of how the world works through our consciousness from the inside out. But in this case, it's a little different, okay? In this case, we need to do something else first, all right? And here it is. Because of the emphasis that people put on the significance of yesterday and tomorrow, the universal obsession that people have, we need to find a way to remove ourselves in the moment from the race consciousness that holds the past and the future so firmly in place. Now, I know this sounds a little strange, but from a spiritual perspective, at least, we need to figure out how to step outside the flow of time mentally and spiritually. We can't do it physically, but we do it mentally and spiritually. In other words, we stop thinking in terms of yesterday, becoming today, becoming tomorrow, and focus on where we are now. But instead of just be in the present, which many spiritual teachers have told us through the years, we need to begin creating from the present. You get the difference? Instead of just being in the present and thinking the same stuff about yesterday and tomorrow, we need to be creating in this moment from the present, which is a much more constructive and proactive and effective way to live. But to do that, we need to do something that most people believe is impossible. We need to create a better yesterday. Interesting, isn't it? Remember when I said a few minutes ago that the movie only exists in our mind? I was talking about that. Well, think about watching home movies of your childhood. You know those old 8mm things we used to have? They go da-da-da-da-da-da-da as you're watching them, and they're flickering around and everything. We may be watching the movie today, all right? But all of the emotions that we feel when I see my grandfather who passed away many, many years ago, or my father who passed, or my brother, all these different people, those emotions feel like they transport me back in time, but they really didn't. I'm still here in the present, allowing the past to affect me. So when we take complete responsibility for what we remember and how we remember it, very important, how we remember it, then we'll be amazed how different today will start to be. But before we do that, we have to do something. We have to deconstruct our stories. We have to deconstruct our stories because our stories are what keep these old memories in place. All right? Now, those of you who have been in class may recall, I beat it into my practitioners. I think I almost made them tattoo it on their arm, but I didn't anyway. When we said that a memory is a present thought about a past experience. That's a very profound statement. A memory is a present thought about a past experience. We cannot have past thoughts because our mind only works in the present. So we can only have present thoughts about the past. But random memories, random thoughts, good or bad, will not stay with us unless we give them some support, unless we give them something to hang on to. That's why we make our memories into stories. And we may remember things in a way that didn't really happen. When we string our memories together into a story where we were the victim, or where we were right and somebody else was wrong, or somebody done us wrong, as they say here in the South, and we become attached to the story, that story will become our reality tomorrow. It will. The more attached we are to it, the more likely it will become that. But if we get rid of the story, if we dissolve the framework of justifying or rationalizing how our parents treated us so badly, or how somebody did something to us, or why we never had money, or why the world's against us, and we can stop identifying with who we were yesterday, we can allow ourselves to be who we are today, which is a starting point for tomorrow. We can start to see the negative events in our past, whatever they happen to be, as something that happened to someone else, which is actually true because if you change your consciousness, you will not be the same person you were yesterday. You will not. Your cells are changing, but this is what we have to change, our consciousness, all right? Which brings up a point that somebody always asks about. Even though we release the bad stories, okay, you can understand why we do that, should we continue holding on to all the good stories in our past? All right? And the answer to that is, Bob, it depends. All right, good answer, okay? Because a story is just a story. Whether it's a horror story or a fairy tale, either one can keep us trapped in the past. Trapped in the past. You know, good memories are a wonderful thing, but if we find that they're holding us back, we may need to let them go. Many years ago, I knew a woman who was going to our center over at Woodruff. Fairly young woman. She had a wonderful marriage, met a guy, man of her dreams. They were married, and 3 years after the marriage, very sad, he was killed in an automobile accident. Very, very sad. And for the next 20 years, I knew her that long, she was so immersed in her wonderful memories of the 3 years she spent with this man that she couldn't leave room for someone else. Now, I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I totally understand it. But she was living in yesterday. And until she decided to move into today, she would never be able to create a better tomorrow. That's the connection. So let's talk for a minute about creating a better tomorrow. All right? Now, you guys have heard me talk about this from the platform, that our expectations create our experience. In other words, if I expect tomorrow to be full of problems, it's probably going to be full of problems. But the truth is, most people don't do this deliberately. I mean, we're not dumb. Nobody wants to create a tomorrow filled with problems. So why do we do it? And part of the problem is, and Bill alluded to, or talked about it with Dr. Barker's writing, our lack of openness. Our lack of openness. So we need to be open in the present to releasing yesterday and creating a better tomorrow. We're not open to the possibility that we may make mistakes. We're not open to the possibility that our way of doing things may be wrong. We're not open to losing a little money or getting bumped around a little bit before things get better. We're not open to miracles. That's really what the problem is. When we strive every day to use our past to guarantee what tomorrow is going to be like, it's going to get boring. And boredom is a spiritual disease. Boredom is a spiritual disease that locks us into our past, all right? So if we can teach ourselves to be constantly open to new things happening, then we will create a space where God, this one mind, this incredible creative mind, is free to play, and we can play right along with it without explaining ourselves to anybody. Now, if we do whatever we do today, and we do it from the deepest and most spiritual and most creative and most intelligent place that we can find inside, what shows up tomorrow will be amazing. Amazing because it will reflect the consciousness, the energy of that kind of clear and positive and present consciousness. But if we don't do that, tomorrow's going to look a lot like yesterday. That's the choice we have. Now, one final funny thing here, funny, strange, not funny, haha, there's a difference. Not only does tomorrow not exist, for some of us, it may not come at all, at least not on this plane of existence. Read the obituaries. People are leaving all the time, and some of them leave on very short notice, all right? You know, the good news is, if we live in the present, from the highest consciousness that we can find, tomorrow will be just fine whether we are in the here or the hereafter. So that part's completely covered. So let me kind of summarize this into something you can use. Here's three questions that you need to ask yourself. This is homework for next week if you're so inclined, okay? First of all, first question, what stories from your past are taking up unnecessary space in your mind? That's a good one. Second, what are you afraid might happen tomorrow or next week or next year? And third, how are you doing today? How are you doing today? Now, this is where the awareness part really comes in. We have to be aware of where our thoughts are focused if we intend to change what we're thinking. So it might help to find a quiet place, ask yourself these questions, and write down the answers. And you may find you're writing a lot longer than you expected for some of these questions. Or even better, if you can find someone you trust completely, sit down and ask each other these questions. You might really be surprised what you come up with and what they come up with. Another good way to do it. But it's worth the effort to do this. Because once we get clear about the answers to these three questions, then we can stop being the person we've always been and stop trying to become who we think we're supposed to be and start being who and what we are, which is a perfect expression of life's desire to grow. That's what we are today in the moment. That's when we take the lessons of yesterday, apply them to the power of today, and create a tomorrow that we can really look forward to. That's how this works, because this is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. All right. Thank you. All right. All right. Let's take a moment. Take a breath. Allow ourselves to be completely present. Allow our body, our mind, and our spirit to be here now in this place at this time. And know together that life is good. Right now, in this moment, I am healthy, whole, complete, and perfect. In this moment, I am prosperous. In this moment, I am loving and I am loved. In this moment, God is expressing itself right here and right now as me. Same God in each and every one of us, totally connected, life expressing itself perfectly. So as I recognize this, my mind slows and I allow myself to release any anger, any resentment, any blame, as if I were starting my entire life history anew right here and right now. And as I look at the future, I do not look at the future that many people expect. I look at a future that can be. I look at a future where disease and war and hatred and bigotry and prejudice and violence are all distant memories that no longer affect us as a race. And I know this is possible. I don't get lost in the news. I don't get lost in the rhetoric. I don't get lost in the history. I look in the moment and realize that every person on the planet has the power in this moment to decide to treat everyone else with respect. And this is the world I believe can exist. This is the world that I see whenever the appearance is something else. This is the power that I have to create. And as I begin to create this in my life, and I enable others to create it in their life, I allow it to spread. I allow it to touch other people. I allow it to touch our consciousness. And I allow it to overcome the false ideas that so many people believe are real. This is the power I have. I give thanks for living in a world of infinite possibility. I give thanks for the awareness of God that I have. I give thanks for my recognition of Spirit creating my life by means of me. This is my truth. I accept it completely, and I release it into consciousness, letting it be so for me in this moment and every moment from now on. Join me in saying, and so it is.